Well, it's after lunch, and last day of the conference, so I'm guessing this is probably about what we're going to get. So welcome. Myself and Jason will be presenting 50-50, 15 minutes each on two different tools that were recently released by Intel, developed Intel, that are web-based tools. They all exist within the browser, currently Chrome. And the first one is called Rapid Interface Builder. And I'm not going to dwell too much on the slides. I only got three of them. Most of what I would like to do is just give you a brief demo and rundown of what the tool can do. But here's some contact info. There's our project. We're hosted up on GitHub. You can find us on Freenode or on the mailing list. And myself and Jeff up here in front at the table are the maintainers. And then we have a bunch of other folks who have done a fair amount of contributions. And now that we're public, we're hoping for a bunch more. So what is RIB? And so Rapid Interface Builder is affectionately called RIB, and so that's I have RIBs, baby back RIBs. We codenamed our first release baby back RIBs. So what is it and what is it not? So it is designed for building simple web applications. It is not designed for creating websites or web pages and all that fancy custom CSS and HTML that you might normally do for building a web page. It is a wizard, for lack of a better term. It is not a full IDE. So this is not an Eclipse plugin. It's not something that integrates with today the SDK, although we have no reason to reject that if somebody wants to help us make that happen. But it is a standalone tool, and it's mostly wizard-oriented. And as such, it's a generator, not an iterator. So you're not going to be re-editing your code through this tool. You're going to rapidly generate a jQuery mobile-like UI, and you're going to produce some code that is well-formed, is clean, and then creates a package that you can then import or expand and just immediately use. It's based off of jQuery mobile and the Web UI framework widgets. So there was a talk yesterday by Samsung on some of the Web UI framework integration and showing some demos, gallery of some apps. It is not HTML star, right? So it's not every possible HTML element. We are slowly adding as they make sense, as we see needs, as we prototype new applications, and we find the elements that make sense to add. For example, we're really seeing the need to add the widget, the image widget, the image tag. Okay, so straight to the demo. Yeah, Margie. We do not. Okay. We accept patches.
Okay.
So when you launch, so if you go to GitHub and you download our project, you will get an index.html. You can set up either a local web server. You can host this up on some other web server, or you can use the file colon URL and directly access. So if you see, I've got it in full screen mode right now. I'm running a local web server on 127.0.0.1, pointing to the directory that I just did a git clone from. So really handy. You don't have to do any builds. You don't have to get a package, although we do have CRX packaging available if you want to install it that way. So immediately you'll see the very first thing when you launch is you get straight to the edit screen. There's no wizards. There's no setup the project. This is all about simple, quick, easy, educational access to creating UIs. So we have context here and some hover actions, and I'll just start, you know, the easiest thing to do is just start showing how things get dragged around. So you've got a widget category here. Let me give some orientation first. There's on the right-hand side, you can see there's widget categories and then your palette below that. On the left-hand side is an outline view, a tree view, and then for any currently selected item, you can edit the properties of that item down below. And when anything is not selected, the page is by default selected. So now I'm going to grab an unordered list and throw it in there. Now, if you noticed, as soon as I start dragging an item, we've got some contextual queuing going on. You can see where can and can I not insert this element. And then as we are hovering over, you can see not only which container this will end up in, but in what position in the DOM that will show up in. So if I had added multiples of these, actually, let's just go straight to a list item. We're going to start throwing list items in here. Oh, I got a mouse. That's, that would be a whole lot easier. And another cool thing is we can also cut elements, and then I can paste them back in. I have to highlight the container, paste it back in. And so once you've added one, you want to add a bunch more, you can just start pasting it back in. And now you can go and edit the text, and you can say, oh, let's, I don't know, let's make a budget category, right? So let's got, we've got housing. Oops, lost my context there. So we've got a housing budget, and let's say we're currently negative by 200,000. No, not that much. So I live in, you know, if you live in Northern California, maybe this is what your housing budget looks like. All right, maybe it's a bad joke, but. And then let's say food. So we're a developer. We really only eat, you know, pizza. So we only need about $300 a month. And of course, we have an entertainment budget, which is well endowed. Let's say we've got $3,000 in our entertainment budget. That's weekly, by the way. Yeah. All right, so we've got a few extra budgets. Let's cut these out. Oops. Cut and cut. Okay, so we got a budget category. Let's give our thing like a name. We need a header, right? So let's call it my budget. Getting a lot of echo on the keyboard here. Sorry about that. I don't think we're really going to need a footer, so let's just delete that. So there, I just hit the delete key. So you've got some key bindings in here as well. You can do Control-C, Control-V, that kind of thing. Okay, so now this is WYSIWYG-ish. You see we've wrapped some of these typically non-visual containers with some headers and handles, so it's kind of easy to see where they are and grab a hold of them. So for example, if we wanted to reorder a couple lists, we had two lists here, I can not only drag just single elements, but I can also reorder containers. So that's kind of handy. But that's interesting and that's nice, but now we need to say have some actions. So let's throw a button in here and let's call it add item. And so we would be able to add something. But that would sort of imply we need some other interaction, some other page. So let's go ahead and we're going to add a page. So we have a dialogue. Ignore the picture. This is sort of what things will look like in the future. We have currently commented out a bunch of stuff for setting styles and themes and so on, so and having document templates so that we would have a preview here of what the template type you'd be loading is. And we can choose to add headers and footers. Let's go ahead and leave the header on it. So I'm going to add the page. And so now we've immediately been brought to the second page. We can go back and forth between the pages here, hit the arrow keys. If there's, you know, if we have multiple pages, let me duplicate a bunch of pages here quickly. Not so quickly, maybe. There. So we've got a bunch of pages. You've got a page scroller up here. You can, if you pick a page, it'll scroll to that page if it's out of view. So handy little things like that. Let's go ahead and delete these. Sorry, I'm running on a Pine Trail. And we're maxing out its CPU. All right, so second page, we need, so what are we doing? This is going to be our add items page. So let's give it a title. So when we add items, we need, sorry, keep trying to drag from there. Maybe that's a new feature we should add, Jeff. we're going to add we're going to need a payee, right? Anytime we spend money. And we're going to need an amount. So here I'm editing the hint property of the text element. And we're going to need a button, you know, an action. Let's go ahead and do a select. Ah, I did it again. There we go. And so we can then say, select a category. Anybody who knows me knows I can't spell with beans, right? Like that. And then default. All right, and let's pick housing. Yeah, I don't want to spend too much time on this. What was the other one? Entertainment. All right, and you can reorder these if you were so inclined. They're draggable. You can add a new entry. So now we have a page, right? So what would this look like? So we have this preview tab up at the top where we have a skin. We have a skin for a phone, a tablet, and a netbook. So you can see them in any one of those that you might want to see. You can do some basic rotation type things, but this is not a simulator. This is sort of a skin it for me and let me see what it does. But what it does allow you to do is actually interact with the pages, right? So now, if you notice before in the layout view, I can't like click and start editing things, and I can't, there's no behavior response when we click on the item. So when you're designing, you don't really want, it's not desirable to have those things popping up. So we block all of that. But in the preview, you get to interact with it, and you can switch between pages. But now let's say we actually want to hook these things up. So every page, by default, we create them with a default ID. So page one, the main page, has page one. Let's give it a real name, though, like main. And let's give page two a name reflective of what it's doing. And okay, and now let's go to back to page one. Let's take that add item, and let's set the target. So now we want to go to the add item page. If I spelled that the same, we can test that now by going to add items. No, I didn't do it right. What's that? Ah, yep, I knew I was going to do that. There we go. See, it works. You can't link to some random place. All right, so now we should be able to go and switch to the page. But how do we get back? We have not bound that. So we can go back to our page two design. And let's now throw a couple buttons up into the header. Now, the interesting thing we're doing here is all this is happening in an iframe, and it's all of the rendering in this area of the what we call the stage is actually being, the rendering is happening with jQuery Mobile. So the toolkit being used is we're allowing it to perform the rendering, and it's dynamically modifying the DOM, and we're working around all of that to find out what items are selectable and movable and draggable. And then all we do when we go to the preview page, it's another iframe, we take out that custom code we've added in the JavaScript to now let just jQuery Mobile do its own thing. So we stop blocking events. We stop modifying the DOM by putting before and after headers, things around the CSS. All right, so now let's make this the done button. Let's give it a cool icon. Let's see, like, okay, the back icon will work. And then let's call this the discard button with a cool icon. And let's bind them to something. So we're just going to go back to main on these. And I'm almost out of time, so one more shot here. So now we can go back, go to add item. And then one more cool thing, if you really were into it, you could say, all right, I want my transition to be a slide. And let's go back to the main page, and let's pick this button, and we're going to slide up. And so the key point being shown here is we're using standard jQuery Mobile transition tags. And we do have this code view. It is not editable. We're actually thinking of minimizing its focus because what we're really trying to teach through this tool is how to write clean code. Most web developers, if you've got any history in doing that, they may use an SDK, they may use a tool if they're doing a really advanced things, but a lot of us tend to just go out to web pages that do cool stuff and say, how do you do that? And so we look at the code. So that's the idea behind here, is we show you the code that's, and this is the clean DOM. This is not the modified DOM that jQuery Mobile has, you know, mucked with. And I'm getting the signal. So last thing, you can do some project settings. So let's give it the title of budget. And you can go to the home. So the home is actually your project view. Oh, and one more cool thing. We do this, we actually do this hackish thing where you capture the DOM of the iframe. We shove it into a foreign object of an SVG. We take that SVG and set it as a source, the path to that as a source on an image tag. And we get a live rendering of the actual page as a thumbnail, which is pretty cool. It's a little scary, too. It's kind of something that we discovered is how Google does when you submit a web page as a bug, they do something very similar to this. We have import project where you can pull in a project. You have you can export a project, which will then eventually here ask you. So it's going to verify that you want to use the local storage and it's saved to the local file system. You say OK, and that's a one-time dialogue. And then it sets it up as a link tag, auto-clicks on it, and now you have your design.zip file. So where we're going with this, so planned enhancements we're going to do. We already have on the docket some additional HTML and jQuery Mobile, as well as the Web UI framework. Oh, and I didn't highlight those. We do have some of the Web UI framework widgets in there, like the color pickers and date pickers. We're going to be expanding the supported set of properties, basic event handlers. We're going to do WGT, so W3C widget packaging. We currently are using GitHub as our issue tracker. We'll be moving to a public Jira bug tracker here within the next 2 weeks or so, I think. And we were going to try and do a much better job of tracking with the upstream toolkit releases. We're a little behind on that. And then you can see here some of the things we're exploring. Much more of that is up here at this tiny URL that you can go to. And now I'm going to hand it over to Jason, who is going to show you a tool that you might transition to from this.
Thanks, John. I'm Jason. I'm working on the web simulator. So the first thing, I want to start in by my session by telling you guys where to get the web simulator first. You can actually download it from the 0101.org web simulator, and then this we just released earlier this week. And then we have been integrated into Tizen IDE since Tizen IDE 1.0. So this is two places you can find our web simulator. I started by this because probably some of the guys, because it's so easy to use, you probably don't need me to explain show you how to use that. You can probably just go ahead and download it, and then you can figure it out yourself. It's just that fast. It's just that easy for you guys to use. So feel free to, you can probably go ignore my presentation and then just go ahead and download it. Okay, so let's go. Okay, here. So I'm going to quickly explain the simulator in a nutshell. The first thing is it's a lightweight tool for developing mobile applications. In the beginning, we have RIP, which is just give you an outlook of your web application. It gives you a skin of your application. But you need a flash and bug in that case, you want to use Tizen device API to get further information from your device. Then that's where simulator comes in. Okay, so it's lightweight means that it's very, very, very small. You download is less than 300 megabytes. Instead of you have to download like more than 300, 500 megabytes from your general Tizen SDK. So it's just really quick. And then we leverage all kinds of, we kind of piggyback with the popularity of Chrome. All you need to do is pre-installed is just a Chrome browser. And then since Chrome is able to run on all kinds of platforms, you can run it. If some guys are prefer like Mac, somebody prefer to be Windows, somebody cut Linux, then that. It's much better support than the regular Tizen SDK. And then it, it gives you the UI markup on the platform device, and then you provide, you apparently provide all kinds of device Tizen device API, and then it runs on Chrome. And then we would like to claim all the credits, say, okay, this is all us, and we did all everything together by us, but it's not the truth. We actually inherited a very good upstream project called Ripple UI Framework, and they give us the basic structure of our simulator, and then we build our stuff on that. Okay, so the last thing is, okay, how would this web simulator help me? And it give you a quick preview of your UI, and then actually help you configuration your configuration file, the configure XML, and then you, yeah, those kind of things. I think I'm gonna, yeah, then it give you apparently device API simulation, and then apparently and last it give you the debugging capability. So all you need to do, so as a application developer, I think that's all you have to do. All you need, everything you need is right here. So without further delay, I'm going to go to the my demo. Okay, I think some of the guys probably went to Zachary's session yesterday. He actually used our simulator as a demo in the end. So that this is what you have seen in yesterday's demo. I'm going to introduce some of the panels on the left. The first thing is you can see, it just gives you the outlook of your application. As you see, you can have different resolution to say, okay, this, how does my application look like on different devices? Okay, does it rotate well? Okay, you can see. You can see if here. And then if you have very small screens, and you can actually zoom in, zoom out, so you can see your application more clearly on your desktop. Okay, this is the first part, and then I'm going to tell you, this is a config XML. It actually give you an idea of is anything missing from your configuration file, and then give you a validation about this. I'm going to show you a few example of here. Okay. Let's see, stop by the battery. Okay. Here is the battery demo. Here I send the time, the time is 0.1 minutes. So from the time from the when your battery is full to empty is like 12 seconds. So this is what this application do is, he actually go to, every second he will go to ask API, okay, how many battery has left. So it will update the UI accordingly. So you can see every second it will update itself. So this is basically what the application, the simulator can do for you. You ask a device API, and it gives you the device API gives you some answer back, and then you can update your stuff accordingly in your application to see if does your application behave correctly as you expected. All right, so let me try another example here. Let me try this. Here I'm trying to try another application called to take advantage of the accelerometer APIs. So basically, what it does is you can move your stuff here. Yeah. So. Okay, it doesn't work. Okay. So the basically this question does is that when you move this stuff here, and then it's an event, you register your dependent center to the simulator, and then the simulator, when the event comes, then you use callback to gather data from those applications. Okay. And then the third thing I want to demo is the messaging. Okay. The messaging is, you can see the difference, the interaction between your application and the simulator. Here, you can see. I can send a message from the simulator here. I'm going to send an SMS here. Okay, you can immediately receive a message. This application are all done by, using Tizen APIs. Okay, so they will send a message using HDSLice API from the simulator to the application. And then I can reply. Okay, and then I can send a message to the panel here. I can say it's 6, 7, 8. Okay. I got it. Yeah. Okay. So you can see you can get a message here. So this shows, okay, it's easy, very easy to use our simulator to write application, because I think compared to regular Tizen stuff, you have to implement all the stack. We are doing is simulate all the stuff, so it's easier for us to give you all kind of device implementation on your simulator. And then it helps you to have quickly develop your application. You don't need everything. You just need your text editor. And then you if you download our simulator, and that's all you need. And then if you have any problem with your application, then you can go here. We have a web inspector. They help you to debug in the stuff you have just written. Yeah, so they have debugger, they have simulator, so I think that's all you need for the web application. So I'm gonna stop my presentation here. So
we're gonna take a break for questions. If you have a question, they've asked us to ask you guys to go to the mics. So we're done, and if there's no questions, we get to go home early. Thank you. I know, it's truly overwhelming, so. So the question was, did we try any of the web applications on the simulator? Can you please define web application, the web applications?
The sample web applications that we have, so which we have given out as part of the sample SDK.
You mean, yes, actually it works on the SDK too. That, you mean the kitchen sink, right? Does it distribute out in the Tizen SDK package, right? The sample application in the Tizen IDE. Yeah, okay, it works on here too, yeah.
Are you planning, or have you done, to add some profiling capability in your simulator to especially evaluate the battery impact of an application? Are you planning to do that, or?
I'm sorry, I cannot hear your question.
Are you planning to add some profiling capability into your simulator to be able to evaluate the potential impact on the battery life from a given application?
Right now, it's not. But we are planning on to adding more tools. And the profiling tool is definitely on our list. Yes. Thanks.
Yeah, sure. Would you relate your UI builder work with Codica and Marketa?
Yeah, so I actually had one time had a slide up there for that because we had to compress. So the question is centered around how does this relate to some other tools out there? One of them is Maqueta. The other one just recently launched within the last two, 3 months called Codica. And so, yes, we've looked at both. Maqueta pre-existed ours. Codica, of course, unfortunately, came out just about the time, about 2 weeks before we were getting ready to go open source on ours. So it was a, you know, it was an unfortunate situation where we were both working on a very similar type of thing. Codica, I'll speak to that first. Codica is a very clean tool. If you go to the jQueryMobile.com website and you play around there, they have a in-document, sort of in an iframe, drag-and-drop tool, very similar to what Rib is doing. But it's a playground, which is what Rib is trying to do, but it doesn't provide any packaging, so you can't download as a package. You can't manage things as multiple projects. They're not necessarily competitive. They came out at the same time. I'd actually love to see us maybe collaborate. The problem, the distinction is going to be that Codica is not an open source project, whereas ours is fully Apache 2 licensed open source. Maqueta is a much richer tool. It's definitely a full IDE. It does code editing. It allows for file management, CSS editing. You can edit JavaScript, all of that kind of stuff. So it's a much richer tool, far beyond what we were trying to accomplish through this. There's no way that two guys and a couple other folks that came on board later were ever going to write a full IDE that's going to replace tools like that. But we saw a gap in the industry where people were not really... when we were learning it, we were writing pre- or post-modified HTML to look like what jQuery Mobile produces, and there's sort of a learning curve on how do you actually produce clean, good jQuery Mobile content that is transportable so you can take it out of that and put it in another toolkit.
So what I really want to ask you is what is the main goal of your tool? To be specialized for Tizen development or to be a general tool for UI Mocha?
It's really focused at a general tool for jQuery Mobile and jQuery Mobile derived toolkits, of which Tizen is one. So when we began this work, it was spawned by an ongoing relationship between Intel and Samsung as far as toolkit needs. But we saw beyond just the Tizen toolkit, there was a need in general jQuery space for this as well. So we decided to start with a jQuery. And at the same time, the Tizen Web UI framework was still very early, very young, and not very well developed. We didn't have even widgets available to test with. So we started with jQuery Mobile, knowing that the Tizen widgets were going to be based off that, and that we would then add the Tizen widgets in on top. So it's jQuery Mobile and derivatives is its focus.
Does the simulator respect the device features in the manifest file?
Yes. Yes, because if you didn't define certain feature in your configuration XML, it will give you a security error. So, yeah, we expect that.
And one thing we didn't actually end up having time to prepare for, but we wanted to show that you can take the output from GUI Builder and then load it into the simulator. And what we didn't really show here is in the simulator, you can go and point your browser. So this is just a browser URL. Oops, let's see, backspace there. And, enter in a path. And it'll, if you're using file colon URLs, it'll let you navigate your local directory and you can open any project you've got, any place that's got an index.html. It doesn't even have to be Tizen project. It's any HTML file, right?
Yeah.
I think we're 4 minutes over, but thank you for your questions, and thanks for coming.